Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helps authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon from lovely Virginia. This is Cassandra Dane, and you're on the edge. This is a show where we try to bring various artists who take their works to the edge, being a little bit dynamic, a little bit wild. Today I have with me a fabulous author. She's also a fellow book trope author with me. She has some incredible titles like The Appeal of Evil, Finding Eden, and Dealing with Devils. So I want to welcome to the show Pembroke Sinclair. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I can't complain. It's a gorgeous day here in Virginia. It was raining and cold and all of that, and I hear you're in Wyoming. What's it like out there today?
It is absolutely gorgeous here today, a little on the warm side, but I'm not going to complain because we can handle it, so it's very gorgeous.
Well, that is a good thing. Well, I'm so glad to have you. We actually, Pembroke and I kind of met via, with Book Trope, there are various imprints of which you guys have heard me say if you've listened to any of the radio shows as the real girl, Bethany Halley. I'm the managing director of the Edge and Entice imprints with Book Trope. There's also another one called Forsaken, which is some very traditional horror pieces. And doing a little bit myself, I met Pembroke in one of the rooms, and we got to chatting a little bit, and I love the way you describe yourself. You write an eclectic mix of horror and science fiction. Tell me what all that's about.
Well, when I first started writing, I always thought I wanted to consider myself to be a sci-fi fantasy writer. You know, it's one of those things that I love, and that's kind of where I started dabbling in, and then I kind of went a little bit different route, and I wrote some more true kind of narrative nonfiction or fiction stories based on real life, I guess. And, you know, that was fun. But then I decided, you know, I really, really like the science fiction. I like to be able to create these things. And apparently I'm a little dark, which means that it's actually more horror in a sense than it is. You know, it's kind of like the Alien movies, where you know it's science fiction because it happens in space, but at the same time, it's very haunted house and very creature feature because you have these creatures who are killing people and jumping out of dark spaces. Personally, I don't think what I write is scary, but other people do. So, I mean, I guess that's all that really matters. So that's kind of where I focus my stuff, just because it's what I really, really enjoy. And, when I was in college, I also had a professor who told me that if you really want to know what scares society is to watch horror movies. So horror for me is a way to explore kind of who we are as humans and what we do in humanity and how we react to these really terrible situations. So
that's a fascinating way to look at it. That's really interesting. And I think horror is one of those escapisms that you really have to enjoy it. A lot of people just refuse to read it. I have editors even that they'll tell me flat out, I can't read any horror pieces. It just gives me too many evil dreams at night. But others just love it, and that is, without a doubt, their escapism.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, and when you look at it from that perspective, it allows you to kind of look at those things in a very safe environment. Because you know when you're reading horror stories, I mean, you know, this is just a story. You know, it's not true. It's not real. So you have that separation from it, but you're able to work kind of through your anxiety and your fears through this medium. And so I think that that's a lot of ways what makes it very a release, an emotional release, too.
Very true.
And I like to be scared, so.
How many books actually in the vein do you have out?
How many books? I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
How many books do you have out, either science fiction or horror? I know you actually, and we'll get into that a little bit later, I know you write as yourself and as another name for children's books, but as the science fiction slash horror, how many books do you actually have published?
Let's see. I have straight fiction books. I have 8, I believe. Then I have a couple novelettes and novellas, and then I have 2 nonfiction books.
Fantastic.
I think that's, and that's without including the 2 that I write, or the 4 that I've done for children's books. So,
children's
and not
books
all of
and horror.
I know it seems kind of like a weird combination, but yeah. But you know, at the same time, I think it works too, because my kids are 6 and 8, and I don't know if it's my influence, but they're really, really kind of into that dark horror stuff too. But I kind of limit what they watch at this point.
Either mom the horror writer influencing.
I know, that's weird, isn't it?
No, I think it's great. Opening their eyes early to all kinds of wonderful fantasies out there in the various genres, I think that's neat. How long have you actually been writing?
I actually started writing when I was in high school. I remember I would sit in class with my notebook, and it would look like I was taking notes, but I was actually, you know, sitting down and writing stories. When I used to be on the swim team, and we were going to have a competition between me and a couple other girls about who could write a better story, and we were going to let the rest of the team decide, but we never actually wound up doing it, probably because of time constraints and just didn't finish. And then everything kind of went on hiatus a little bit when I went to college. I took a few writing classes but didn't do anything serious because I was so busy with everything else. And then once I got done with school and into the workforce, one of my close friends, who I actually went to school with, got me back into writing. So my first novel was published in 2009, but I had a few short stories that had come out before that. And my first novel that I got was actually a complete rewrite of the story that I was working on when I was in high school.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. I bet that was, in a sense, cathartic to be able to go back to that and finish it and bring it forward.
It was, and at the same time, it was troubling, for lack of a better word, because I felt like, you know, I had grown so much the years and went back. I was like, good God, what is this? So I liked the storyline, but how it was displayed, you know, how it was originally written was not good. So it felt really good to go through and redo it again. But since it's my first book, it's still one of those things, like, to this day, I'm just like, oh, God, maybe I shouldn't have that, you know?
I think we've all had that experience, and you look at it and just cringe inside, and it's almost better to just, you know, instead of editing it, which I've done too, to indeed rewrite it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I don't think, you know, on one day or another, I think the same thing about all the books that I have come out. I'm just like, good God, who lets me publish these things? So it just depends on the day.
Well, tell me, how long have you been with BookTrope?
I have been with BookTrope, let's see, The Appeal of Evil was my first book that came out with them, and I think it came out last year, or was it 2013? No, it came out, yes, I think it came out last year. Sorry, I can't remember. And so I have since then, I have had 3 other books come out with them, and I have several more in the future that I plan to have come out with them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love BookTrope.
I do too. I think it, for those who don't know what Book Trope is, it is a it's a very interesting publishing company of which they develop teams. You have project managers and book managers, editors and proofreaders, and a cover designer, and they all work with you as a team, and then when you make money as an author, everyone on the team makes money. So it's a collaborative effort to bring everything to the forefront, and there's so many talented folks in Book Trope. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And what I've worked with other publishers, and I have books and stories out with other publishers, and they're great too. I mean, the publisher who put out Coming From Nowhere, which is the very first book I wrote, you know, I wouldn't be where I am without them. I mean, they were willing to take a chance on me. They were willing to, you know, get my stuff out there, and they've done several of my books. And, you know, I really like them, and there's another one that I like. But it is. It's just, it's very different working with Book Trope than it is with these other people. And what's nice about the teams is that the people get to pick if they want to be on your team. You know, you can ask, and they can be like, you know, no, because then that way they're invested and they believe in what everybody's doing. And I really like that aspect of it, too, because then everybody's on board and everyone's excited about it, you know?
That's true. Yeah, going through the entire effort, when you bring the book in and you start looking at what you want to do for a cover, it is very, because you have a team room that's set up and you can go and talk about it and, you know, just kind of throw out ideas, and that, I think that makes it so exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, because I've been the same way with you, with some of the other companies, and, you know, I've had editors who are just like, oh, gosh, I can't do horror, I just can't. And that's fine. I mean, it's not everybody's thing, and I understand that it would be very difficult to edit something if it's not in your genre. But then, you know, which is really nice about Book Trope, because editors can be like, oh, my God, absolutely, let me work with you in, you know, whatever you write. So that's, I've really appreciated that part. I mean, and I've never had any editors that were just flat out refused to do it. They've all been really helpful, but it's very different. It really is.
And being with the Forsaken imprint, and I know Maddie, who of course is the imprint director, managing director mm-hmm. of that one. She is trying to do some very creative things, bringing her authors kind of to the forefront. How has it been working with Maddie?
It has been awesome. I mean, and being part of the Forsaken team group, you know, team room where we all get to hang out and talk has been really inspiring, I think. I mean, it's amazing just to see all these different authors who are out there doing the same, you know, writing in the same genre and putting out books and works and just being able to talk horror movies or share links to scary things. It's just, it's really fun, and it's nice to know that there's other people out there to bounce ideas off of. And yeah, Maddie's ideas are just, they're amazing, and they're really fun, and I'm really interested to see where it goes from there.
One of the things, and unfortunately you're actually not involved, but I think it's really neat to kind of do a cross the imprints, and before we came on air, Pembroke and I were talking about what is the difference in Edge versus Forsaken. And the way Forsaken's kind of been described is more of the classic horror, not necessarily the, you know, extreme blood and gore. It's just a very scary kind of story, where Edge might take that scary story and torture people. Or, you know, you might have a serial killer or vampire or whatever, and there's, you know, a little bit more bloodshed. But it's kind of interesting to cross the lines, I think. And several authors have done that, and it's been fascinating to see and talk with the various authors.
Yes, it has been, and it's funny that you bring up Edge stuff, because I actually have a short story that I got published in an anthology about serial killers that I wrote, and I used to write for Serial Killer magazine. So all that stuff's really interesting too. But that when I worked for Serial Killer magazine, that was really the one time that the research gave me horrible, horrific nightmares, and that I actually had to back away from for a while and be like, I have to take a break from this. I just have to. I mean, it literally pushed me to the edge.
That's interesting. How long ago was that?
Oh, that was several years. Probably been 5 or so now. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Is it something you'd like to do again, or think that, you know, having left it and coming back, do you think it would have the same effect on you?
To a point, yes, just because it's one of those things that you can get into really, really, really deeply, mm-hmm. and there's so many different facets to it and so many horrible, awful things that these killers have done to other people that you're going to find something surprising when you keep digging through. And it's sometimes it's very difficult to deal with, and the being unable to separate yourself, saying, oh, it's just fake because it's not fake,
right.
You know, that aspect of it is kind of difficult. And every so often, you know, I'll go back and, you know, I'll look up some serial killer stuff, or if I see an article online, you know, about one that they have, I'll read about it. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I wouldn't do it again, because I may, but at this point I'm kind of focusing on other things that I prefer to do than looking at that. So.
No, I understand. I think that you can delve into, even if you're writing about a serial killer that doesn't exist, you're getting into the psyche of this person, and it is indeed, it's very, very dark at times. So I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, well, tell me then about, you also write children's books, and I know you have a couple of children yourself. Is that kind of why you started that?
I did, actually. The first, I have two picture books, and then I have two middle grade books. And my first picture book that, well, one of them, I don't know if it was my first, it's called There's a Monster in Mommy's Tummy, and it's about being hungry. And I actually came up with that story when my oldest was an infant. And, I would wake up in the morning and just be so hungry, and my stomach would be growling so loud while he was feeding. It just made me chuckle because I was like, good God. I mean, what's going on in this kid's mind just listening to my stomach? It seriously sounds like there's a monster in there. So then I was like, oh, hey. And so from there it kind of developed into this into a picture book about being hungry and then, you know, why your stomach growls and things like that. Then the other one, which is kind of for fun, Mr. Chocolate and the Magic Jays, was just, it was for fun. It was, it's the story about sharing and things like that. And then my two middle grade books were created for my boys. And I actually, the names I use in the stories are my kids' names.
Oh.
And yes, I started writing it when they were both, I think when my oldest was 4 and my youngest was 2. And so it was really fun just to kind of imagine what they were going to act like, because the kids in the story are 10 and 8, so they're a little bit older. And so it was fun to kind of imagine how their personalities would change and what they would do. And basically, I knew that when they get older that they would want to be in battles. It would be something that they would want to enjoy. So it's called The Ifs and The Ifs Return, and it's about small 6-inch people who ask for their help to fight a battle against bad ifs. And, you know, we've read them both, and they really do enjoy them because of the battles that they get to be in and the animals that they get to work with. And I'm working on a third. Well, I'm not working on it, but eventually I will be working on a third that kind of brings in a little bit more of their likes. And at the moment, they are really, really into zombies. So some zombies will be making an appearance in the IF books in the future.
That sounds great. I think if you're trying to mix all that together in writing, you know, more of a children's book has definite talent. I've written a children's book before, but it's quite a bit different. So I applaud you for doing that. It's neat.
It's really funny because one of my friends and I, who's also an author, always talk about, because I've gotten a few reviews for the book that say that they're a little violent. And, you know, like I said, there is a battle in there. So there's, you know, they have to fight and they have to do stuff. Nobody dies that you can see, you know, but, you know, some animals get hurt, but they're okay. And, you know, it's funny because when I read that review, I was like, oh, I didn't think of it as being overly violent because, you know, to me, I felt like it was really, really toned down compared to what I normally write. But then we were talking about how, you know, some kids' world is way more violent than, you know, what we even perceive and what we see. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times it's just, to us, it just, I mean, kids go through so much. And part of the reason that I, you know, put my characters kind of in peril like this is because kids can overcome way more than I think we give them credit for. And I didn't want to kind of downplay the seriousness about anything, but I tried not to make it overly scary. So I thought it was important to have that sense of peril there and then show them that, yes, you can make it through this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought that was an important part of the children's book that I wanted to portray.
Mm, that sounds great. We're going to take a short pause here to station identification, so to speak, because we love callers. You're on the World of Ink Network. This is Cassandra Dane with The Edge, and we have Pembroke Sinclair on today. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 714-242-5259. Tell me about the latest book or an upcoming book that you have with Forsaken.
Forsaken, the first book I will have coming out with them was actually a reprint of my zombie novel that I did.
Ooh.
So it's a, it's a young adult zombie novel. It's called Life After the Undead. And it was originally published in 2011. And so we're going to bring it out, back out, you know, new cover. I've actually edited some things and changed some things around, and yeah, so we're going to see how it goes with that. I mean, it's a story I've always really, really enjoyed, but there was always bits and pieces of it that kind of bothered me, you know? So
mm-hmm.
this gave me to fix those, and so I'm hoping it's going to do good. And
oh, I have
to enjoy
it. Zombies are still hot, no matter what, it's interesting to me that how people are finding authors are in new ways of allowing zombies to live their life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we watched Maggie a couple weekends ago, and I loved it. I thought it was so fantastic. It's definitely not your typical zombie movie at all, but yet it was still really, really good, and I liked it. And I also know that the movie Cooties is coming out soon. I don't know if you've seen previews for that, but it's about grade school children who turn into zombies, and it looks hilarious and fun and creepy, and I think it's going to be amazing, just fantastic. So I agree. I mean, I love how people are kind of changing the genre and switching things around to keep it fresh and fun.
Well, that's the beauty of the imagination of authors. I mean, I don't know how you handle, you know, being the different personas that you write with, but I can't just write one book at a time, and I'll switch it up, whether I'm writing a grisly murder vampire something over here or and then switch it over to, you know, a lighter erotic piece that might not take me as long writing. I think it's neat uh-huh. to be able to make the changes and move back and forth. Do you do that a little bit, or you stay on one book, one topic?
I usually stay on one book, one topic, and mainly because I have so many other distractions during the day. You know, mm-hmm. I work a full-time job, I have family, I have pets, you know, all that stuff. When I do finally get to sit down and actually work and write, it's usually a very limited amount of time. So, yeah, me trying to flip between different projects, nothing would get done at all. So I try to focus. And when I work on my nonfiction, there's usually research and things I have to do in between each. And so, yeah, trying to flip between, I'd be like, I wouldn't know what the hell was going on. But I do know people that do that.
Well, and it's just, I think, the way that your brain works. Yeah, I'm not sure that I could sit down. I think my mind goes all over the place, and I, you know, it's not that I can't focus, but it's like I enjoy the thought of writing in different genres, and, you know, I might get a little bored with one, and I'll just switch to the other, and it makes me, as a writer, I think, fresher. But a lot of people just want to finish it, get it done, move on.
Yeah, and, you know, whatever works for you, however you have to get the story out is what you have to do, so more power to you.
Oh, I know. I love the titles of some of your books. I mean, the appeal of evil or dealing with devils. They're very, very well thought out titles. You got to tell me a little bit about those two.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you that titles are the bane of my existence. I hate coming up with titles. I usually, very rarely will I have a title before I have the story. Usually the title comes long after, and I agonize over them because I try to encompass what the story is about in, you know, a very short phrase. So it's I hate titles, but thank you. So The Appeal of Evil and Dealing with Devils are the first two books in my young adult book series called The Road to Salvation. And they are considered paranormal, and I loosely say romance because there is a love story that occurs in there, but it's about demons. So it's kind of this traditional good and evil story, good versus evil story. And like I said, it has demons in it, but doesn't have angels in it. So there's that notion there. And so The Appeal of Evil basically is about how appealing evil can be. And my main character, Katie, is torn between, you know, good and evil, and finds evil appealing. And so it's her story of how she kind of gets trapped in there. And then Dealing with Devils is the second one, and she ends up dealing with a lot more devils than she did in the first book. And the third book in the series is actually coming out on July 28th, and it is titled Good Intentions. So, yes.
I love the concept. I think it's neat.
Thank you. And I'm trying not to give too much away for people who haven't read it. So, yeah. I don't know how to do that.
Well, in marketing, and it's got to be an interesting concept of marketing since you're doing horror, YA horror. Of course, children's books would be something else completely different. What do you find that is successful and has been totally a bust?
Well, successful for sure, I have found getting myself out there. Because it's not always sell yourself, you know, or sell your books. It's not always books, because you also have to sell yourself as the author. And I try to sell some of the expertise that I have with the research I've done and things like that. So one of the things that I try to do to also appeal to teenagers is I created a workshop that I do, and I'll do it for libraries or high schools, you know, whoever calls and says, hey, can you come do this? And it's called Surviving Zombies. So, you know, what we do is, using examples from movies and things like that, we talk about, you know, what zombies are, different ways to survive after they have, you know, come up, the pros and cons of each. I give them a list of 20 items that they have to order in order of importance. And then we go through the list and we talk about why that particular order is important and, you know, just fun things like that. And then, you know, if we want to talk about writing, and because a lot of times most of these kids are also, you know, they're budding writers. And so they have a ton of questions. And I just love to sit there and talk to them about that and, you know, what to do and, you know, what not to do. Not like I have all the answers, but I try to help them in any way I can. I've done workshops before. I've actually sold books at farmers markets before, which was when it was raining, worked out really well. I was quite surprised. That was always fun. Blog tours. I don't want to say I've done it all because I absolutely have not, and I'm always trying new things. I don't know that I've ever had anything that has just completely bombed on me that I can think of off the top of my head. Because in some way or another, no matter any of these things that you do, you're getting yourself out there. And hopefully somebody was saying, oh, hey, I never thought about that, you know. But definitely for middle grade, it's a lot more difficult because you have to get through what they call the gatekeepers. So, you know, that's like the parents and librarians. But same thing there. I mean, I also offer a workshop for younger kids about heroes and villains and talking about, you know, why heroes have to go on quests and why it's important and how do you make a good villain? What actually makes a good villain? And, you know, then they get to create their own villains and give them backstories and tell about why they're going to be the good bad guys. And then they get to create their own quest for heroes and, you know, why it's important for those things. So, you know, it's not always about the books. It's sometimes just about what you know and what you can teach other people. So, I don't know if that answered your question or not, but basically that's part of what I do.
And all of that's, I'm especially fascinated by the seminars. What a fantastic idea. Were you inspired to come up with those or just something that came to you in the middle of the night?
Well, see, my mom's a teacher. And she's, you know, so I grew up with teachers. And I went, and so she really kind of helped me with that idea. It was one of those things that I thought, what is something I have that I could share with other people aside from writing? You know, because like the surviving zombies idea, it could also apply to, you know, say natural disasters, you know, when hurricanes or tornadoes, because survival is survival, no matter what's after you. And so that kind of takes into those, but it's more fun to think about from a zombie perspective. So it was just one of those things where I was like, well, here's my idea. And so she kind of helped me refine it and tweak it. I honestly don't remember how I came up with those. It was just, I think it just kind of hit me one day where I was like, I could do this. I'm actually going to be in Long Beach. Oh, and the other thing I do is through the Wyoming Humanities Council that I have here. And that's definitely more for my nonfiction stuff. So I have presentations that I do for my my life lessons from Slasher Book, and then my Undead Obsessed Fighting Memes and Zombies nonfiction book. And I was lucky enough for the Slasher Book to be chosen to do a panel workshop in Long Beach, California, where they have this huge film festival. So I'm really looking forward to doing that because I love to talk movies, and I love to talk horror movies especially. So I think that's going to be really fun. So we'll see. I don't know.
That sounds like a great time and very good opportunity as well. And those kinds of things don't necessarily come up that often.
No. I was so excited when I got the email that said my proposal had been picked. I'm pretty sure I happy danced. Yep.
I can understand that. Been there, done that before, too. And it's more exciting than I think people understand. It's also can be terrifying for some.
And I am a little nervous about it, too. But I think one big thing that I have found that always works is putting yourself out there. I mean, mm-hmm. It's scary, it's terrifying, but the world isn't going to come to you. So you really have to go out into the world. And I hate flying. I mean, I hate flying. And so, but, you know, I don't really have any conferences around me that do this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I can't sit and be afraid forever. I have to take a chance. I mean, and the big thing was they could have not picked my proposal, and then I would have never had to worry about it. So it was fine. But definitely taking a chance and trying to put yourself out there is going to be the best. And, yeah, it might not always work out for you, but at least you can say you tried, you know?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And just you never know what connections that you make that will matter, whether it be immediately 6 months, 5 years. It's surprising to me often that some of the folks that when I started the writing career, so to speak, that all of a sudden we're doing things together now. And it's I love that.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's what it is, too. It's about connections. It's about meeting people and, you know, hanging out and talking about things you love to talk about.
I think readers really do prefer when they get to see you as a person, whatever that is, and whatever means you can do that, from blogs to Facebook to whatever. If you can relay and show a little bit, share your life, they really do, I think, enjoy and respect and want to get to know you even further, and sometimes through the pages of your books.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of funny because some days I don't consider myself an author at all. I feel like I struggle to put words on a page, and I'm pretty sure most authors and artists, you know, can relate because we're always our own worst critics. But I remember when I was going to do, I think, one of my first presentations for one of the workshops. I mean, I was incredibly nervous about it, and I had a friend who told me that they remembered when they were in grade school that they had an author come and visit. And it was the highlight of her school career. She just thought it was the coolest thing to be able to talk to somebody who had done that. And it made me feel so much better. And, you know, maybe not all of them feel that way, but, you know, for them to get excited about, you know, seeing somebody who's done something is exciting. Even if they don't like my books or, you know, whatever, it just, I think to be able to talk to, and I would feel the same way, you know, if I still feel the same way. I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm going to go to a conference and talk to other writers, you know. It is. It's very exciting, and it's inspiring. So, and I think when people, like, you know, when we take the time to do that, that's really what encourages others. So I agree with you on that.
So. Definitely, definitely. I think that, and conferences are just, it's so exciting for me when you have a reader come up and just express the joy of meeting you or the book that they read of yours or whatever. It seeing their eyes light up, that's just spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. But then being a fangirl is really fun too sometimes.
Oh, sure. Oh, you can't not go to those and you know, just get thrilled because you're going to see or meet or go to dinner with someone that you've admired for a long time. It's I love that too.
Exactly. It's just, yeah, it's so much fun. And it kind of reinforces why we do what we do, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You know, the publishing world, whether you're an author or an editor or whatever, is oftentimes very solitary. You know, you're sitting alone writing your book. You know, you're corresponding by email or the internet or Facebook. You might never meet these people if you didn't get out to the conferences and things.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's fun. I enjoy doing it. It's nerve-wracking, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, it's really worth it. It really, really is.
Have you thought about doing, since you love to talk horror movies, have you thought about dabbling in writing a script, or would you love to have one of your pieces come to the movies and kind of follow that through with, you know, your mind process?
It's kind of funny that you asked that, because one of the things that I recently did was I created a movie pitch and about 10 pages of a screenplay for my young adult zombie novel. Because Book Trope has a relationship with, I think it's IPG, who does that kind of stuff. I have never done anything like that before. I have never written a screenplay. I had to get online and do some tutorials and figure out what I was doing. I still don't think I did it very well. And, you know, go from there. And, yeah, I would love to see some of my books I don't think would translate very well onto the screen. But I would love to see them become a movie. I think it would be amazing and awesome. But I definitely think somebody with more experience doing screenplays needs to do it than I do, because I have no clue what I'm doing at all.
And I have to agree. It's hard. Oof.
Really hard. I mean, the big thing is that, you know, you have to kind of, because movies and books are not the same medium at all. So what you can do in a movie is not what you can do in a book, and vice versa. So when it comes to your books, I mean, you really have to boil down what you think the theme should be. Because there could be several different themes that go through a book and several different character viewpoints that you just can't do in a two-hour movie. So you have to pick and choose, which is why a lot of movies and books are so different. Because somebody has to pick and choose what they think the most important part of that book is to put on a movie screen.
Right.
And I think all of my words are important. So for me to try and boil it down to just the very essence, you know, or just the dialogue, it's challenging. It really is. I like the challenge, but I don't know that it's something I want to do all the time. I feel like I want to take a class to get a better idea of exactly how to do that.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I've written one, and it was on more of a challenge trying to write for a YouTube-style crime story that was being put out. And, you know, you think at first, oh, that should be pretty easy to do. Wrong.
Yeah.
It's a different brain process, let alone the kinds of words that you're putting on the page, the scene that you're setting. It's just more power to the folks that do it well.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing, too, because, you know, a lot of stuff I'm reading, it's like, you know, you can put directions in there, but, you know, you also need to leave it up to the vision of the director so that they can see what's important. And just like, oh, so how am I supposed to know what the director needs to make that perfect? I was like, I don't ever want to do this again. A much better idea of what I'm doing. But I totally agree with you. Absolutely, more power to the people who can do that and do that well, because it is really challenging.
And I've heard, as I've talked, I don't think there isn't an author out there that it can say they don't want to see, you know, their books turn into movies. We all have that dream, you know, go to the big screen. I wrote that.
Absolutely.
I've heard it can be a, if you think publishing is a dog-eat-dog business, and it definitely is, movie, I hear, is a million times worse.
Oh, I can only imagine. I really, really honestly can. So I'm really not holding my breath on that at all. But just to be able to attempt and try again, you know, at least I can say I tried and then go from there. Because, I mean, you never know. Something amazing could happen, too. So
true.
I'm not holding my breath.
No, I don't think lightning strikes many of us, if ever, often, or whatever. You know, it's not going to happen. We're not going to have that kind of concept. But we write for the joy of writing. We write because we have to write.
Exactly. And, yeah, it's not going to make or break me. I mean, if nothing happens, I will continue going on the way I normally do. If something does happen, I will still continue going on the way I normally do, you know. So just a little bit more.
True. And I think that it's kind of laughable is probably too strong of a word, but some people think that, you know, you write books and they're out there, that you're making a lot of money. And as I told people, if I was making a lot of money, I'd be on a desert island or something with, you know, the Cabana Boys, and, you know, I'd be good to go. It's not happening. So,
if I'm making a whole ton of money from that, I would not still be working my normal day job.
Oh, no.
But
No.
You know, for the most part, that's not why we do it either. You know, we do it because we like to tell stories. And that's what we do, is we tell stories.
Definitely. How have your friends, family, and you know, colleagues, that kind of thing, reacted to the various types of writing that you do?
They've all been incredibly supportive. One of my friends that I work with is actually an author, too, so she completely understands. You know, I've read all of her work. She's read mine. You know, we kind of help each other out, bounce ideas off of each other, do all that kind of stuff. Like I said, my family's been really, really encouraging. It's funny because my mom doesn't necessarily like the horror genre that I write in, and she will attempt to read the vast majority of stuff that I write, and she enjoys it, but it's not her thing, and that's totally fine. And then she'll, you know, she reads my other stuff, too, so... And she's always very supportive, and it's kind of funny because I always chuckle to myself a little bit because she also doesn't sugarcoat things. She's also been very, very helpful in some of instances with some of my stories, telling me that this doesn't work and that doesn't work, and helping me fix them, which I really, really appreciate. That's been nice. But, yeah, I mean, my husband's incredibly supportive of it. My kids love it. They want me to read some of my other books, but I'm just like, gotta be a little bit older for that.
So, yes.
It's been awesome. And for the most part, they all know me, so if they are not surprised with the work that I put out. I think it would be really surprising to them if I wrote a romance novel. I think then they'd be like, oh, my God, where'd this come from? So... That would be surprising.
Well, never say never, though. You don't know what will happen in the future.
That's true. That is very true.
Other than going to California for, you know, sitting on the panel, that is such a joy to hear that you're doing, what other kinds of things are you doing the rest of this year? Anything special, more seminars?
I am doing a few of my workshops over the summer and some into September and October. I put in a proposal for another conference in Pennsylvania, and I'm not supposed to hear about that till probably next week sometime. That doesn't close until the 30th, and then it says it takes about a week, so we'll see about that. Kind of keeping my fingers crossed, even though it scares me to death to think about getting on a plane to go out there. I still think it would be a lot of fun and, you know, good connections and just talking to like-minded people again. And then other than that, you know, pretty open, just doing what I can, hoping something will come up and continuing to write in the meantime. So
that's good. That's great. Have you found in the publishing industry, I mean, the folks around, and we've talked about book tropes, so you and I both agree they're extremely supportive, but fans slash readers, other authors, how have they been to work with?
They've been amazing. I don't think I've had any, if I've had contact with, readers, whatever, they've been usually really encouraging and supporting and just amazing, wonderful people. And even when you get negative reviews, most of the time they're still really amazing readers who do that, and I completely respect and value their opinion. Knock on wood, I don't have any negative interactions with readers or publishers or editors, but the chance always exists because that's just how the world works. So far it's been really positive and I've enjoyed it immensely.
That's good. That's good to hear. I think we've all had various experiences, mostly positive on my end as well. There's certainly always bouts of jealousy that kind of exist out there. But I think what most authors realize, although there was a flood of books out there, people read. They want to read. They want to enjoy getting outside of their life and reading whatever fantasy that thrills them. And there's so many wonderful authors.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, there's so many to pick and choose from that, and there's no reason to be hateful towards anyone either because there's so much you can pick. If you don't like something, move on. Nobody's forcing you to read it, and life's too short to dwell on the negative and the bad. So just move on. Keep going. It's all good. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. If you don't like something, you don't have to like it, but you don't also have to be hate-filled and evil about it either. So,
true. Very good point. And there are some that are. But I think they'd be that way about whether it's a musician or a painter or anything else. There are some people that's their character.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's a free, their choice. They can do whatever they want. But my biggest thing is, again, life's too short, and we're all struggling. We're all trying to do the best that we can. It tears me up, when we tear each other down. And it's hard a lot of times for me to deal with, but, kind of the nature of the world, I just wish it wasn't the nature of the world.
Not true. But I can tell you, at least from my personal experience, that the folks on my teams for, Edge and Entice and Forsaken, everybody that I have, just had the joy of spending any time with, whether it's on the radio show or in our different chat rooms or whatever, they're all so supportive of each other. It's wonderful.
Yes, and it is. And those are definitely the type of people that you want to keep around. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, it's been incredibly supportive and helpful, and I really absolutely appreciate that. And those are definitely the people that you want around you all the time. Surround the fuzziness.
True.
And I think your dog agrees with me.
Yeah. Yes. It's live radio, as I was telling Pembroke, that my golden retriever, who really wants to be a lap dog, would probably pipe in, and there was his hello. So, it's real live life. Well, what do you have working? I know you've got, the couple things that, like the zombie one that's coming out with Book Trope. Do you have definite thoughts and plans for the next few books that you're doing?
Yes. I am currently working on my grandfather-in-law's biography right now. He was a World War II veteran and a rancher in Wyoming that made some advances in artificial insemination for cattle. That's been really fun to work on. And then after that, I want to do another young adult zombie novel with a male protagonist because the other one I have is a female protagonist. So those are my next two. And I have a list of things that I want to do, but I'm trying to stay focused on the short term. So, yeah, there's always stuff in the works for me. It's just a matter of when I get to it. So.
Oh, I understand. We all have to live our lives, as we talked about. So we can do a lot of good planning, but sometimes life interferes.
That's true. Very true.
Have you had or done any, and I didn't delve and kind of look too deep into this, have you done any book trailers or, something creative in that line for your books?
Yes, I have done. I have two book trailers. One for Coming From Nowhere, and then one, I think, for Life After the Undead, if I remember correctly. And they were great fun. I appreciated the people who made them. They were amazing. They were wonderful. But I honestly don't know if they helped in any way, because when you have a book trailer, it's kind of another thing that you also have to market. You know, you have to direct people and say, hey, check out my book trailer. It's awesome. And they usually are. I mean, they're really cool. But it's one more thing that I don't really have time to, you know, so I've never done anything. I thought about doing a few more. I just haven't had time to do more, because that's what it all boils down to, is time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Time management for the various types of marketing that we do, whether it's Facebook pages, Twitter, Instagram, whatever your, you know, your choices are, it doesn't matter how well they're connected together. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
How have the book managers through BookTrope been helpful to you? Do you like that part of the program?
I absolutely love that part of the program. It is incredibly helpful to me because it gives me somebody to bounce ideas off of. It gives me somebody who is also helping me get my name out there, which is fantastic. Pam is absolutely amazing as my book manager, and I appreciate everything she does. And I think we're a really good team, and it's just really nice to have one more person who can help, you know, contact reviewers and set up blog posts and things like that, just because, you know, sometimes I just get so incredibly busy that, you know, having one more person in your corner to get your name out there is just, it's incredibly helpful. I mean, I still do a lot of the work on my own, but yeah, it's just been so helpful. I really, really appreciate that part of it. I really do.
And for our listeners, the book manager is actually, it's similar to what Pembroke said. They're responsible for various aspects of marketing. The author will always do a lion's share of their own. That's the nature of the beast in the industry right now. But thank God for the book managers who will set up a blog tour or remind you to, you know, don't forget we've got this coming out and you've got to do some tweets, or go and even look for magazines and various newspapers and that kind of thing to get the word out. They really, really, really do a great job.
They do. They're awesome. I don't think I'd be where I am right now without my book manager. And I actually had to switch. My first book manager, who was also an amazing person, unfortunately had to move on. But I sometimes think I don't know how I made it without a book manager before. So I'm so happy for what they do.
Definitely help with the time management. You know, working full time and trying to do it and having a family, I would have never appreciated the time and organizational skills that you have to have as I do now.
Right?
Exactly. God.
It is really helpful. And, yeah, like you said, just kind of have those reminders that, hey, don't forget this. And Pam does these amazing, and I'm going to start sharing them this week. She makes teasers for me. So she'll take quotes from my book, and she'll put them on these amazing, basically they're like memes, but, you know, they're book quotes, and they just look so amazing, and she loves to do it, and I just love that she does them for me, and I'm really excited to share them this week. So, yeah, just little things like that I think really mean a lot, and I think they help out immensely, and it's just because I would never have time to do anything like that. I would have never even thought of doing anything like that, so it's just another idea just to kind of help get exposure out there.
Definitely. And it's neat, too, to see the different book managers kind of bounce ideas off each other, because there are millions of things you can do, but trying to get to them all or trying to figure out how to make, you know, inroads to this magazine or whatever, that's tough. That's also time-consuming.
Yes, it is. It really, really is. And, like, to share that responsibility, it helps everybody, I think.
Absolutely. If you would have one piece of advice you would give to aspiring writers, all the way from, you know, the kids that you have in your various workshops on up to someone who's been struggling for years just to find a publisher, what would it be?
Don't quit. Don't ever quit. I mean, there have been many, many, many a times when I would be just disheartened and beat down and, you know, rejections that just, you know, torn out my soul and just wanted to quit, and I'm just like, I can't do it anymore, it's too much, it's terrible, and then it takes one yes That's all it takes is just one yes, and it completely turns your world around. And, you know, it might not come instantly, but eventually you will get it. And when it does, it's the most amazing thing in the world. And you can look back on everything and say, I'm here. And again, like I said, my biggest thing is that I don't ever want to say I didn't try. That's the thing is I never want to say I didn't try. Even if it doesn't work out in my favor, at least I can say I tried. And so, again, something amazing could come out of it. But unless you put yourself out there, you'll never know.
That's such good advice. I think so many people are simply afraid of the rejection and they don't realize it is a lot about one person's point of view. One might not love it, but someone else might.
Absolutely. And the rejection's tough. I mean, it really, really is. It's hard. I mean, and especially when you just keep hearing no, no, no. I mean, it does. It weighs you down. It doesn't matter how thick your skin is or how tough you think you are. Eventually, it will wear you down. However, it is going to make you stronger. And again, it's that one yes, and it just turns everything around. And it's so worth it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's just, it is the most amazing feeling to see. And it doesn't change. I don't know if it does for you, but it doesn't change for me. No matter how many books I put out, when you see it go live, it's like that little kick in your stomach, and it makes you smile.
Absolutely. And that's just, I mean, I kid you not, whenever I get a new book cover, it's like Christmas to me. I'm just like, oh, yay, you know, and then comes the freak out, like, oh, dear God, this is getting real.
Yeah,
I agree. It's amazing and exciting, and it's nerve-wracking all at the same time. It's very scary. It's really, really scary, but it's fun, too. I mean, the excitement and positivity much outweighs all of the other negative stuff that happens.
Yep, I totally agree with you. And it's a ride all the way, but it's definitely one I don't want to get off of yet.
No, not yet. I agree. I'm enjoying it right now. And I'm excited to see where it actually goes because there are no guarantees in life. I mean, I've worked with publishers before. They don't guarantee they're going to print any of my other books, and I have been told no. I mean, I've been rejected by publishers who put my stuff out. And talk about sting. However, there's always that yes, and I've gotten yeses, so that makes it all worth it.
Definitely. Where can all of the fabulous readers find you?
I am on Facebook, I'm on Goodreads, and I have an Amazon author page also. So I'm all those places. I'm also on Pinterest, although I'm not on there very often because it's the void that sucks you in and I will never get off of there. And I think that's it. Oh, and Twitter, too. I'm also on Twitter. The usual haunts where you can find people.
Usual, very good haunts. Well, I am so glad. I'm glad to have had an opportunity to talk with you today. You have such excitement in your voice and the way that you describe things, and I cannot wait for your zombie stuff to come out. It sounds so exciting.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come out either. I'm really excited about it, too. So, and thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm so glad, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, I hope you'll have me back.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I will say to our listeners out there, thank you. You've been on the edge with Cassandra Dane and my fabulous guest, Pembroke Sinclair. She's in Wyoming. I'm in Virginia. And just for the guys in the future, we have on my show coming up in a couple of weeks, Victoria Bright. And then following Victoria will be David Paris Singer Carter. And the upcoming shows for on the World of Ink Network on July 9th, we have Historical Romance on A Good Story is a Good Story. And on the 16th, it's a special songwriting show with Marcia Casper Cook. So thanks so much again, Pembroke, and I hope you have an incredible afternoon.
Thanks. I hope you do the same.
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys. Have a great day, and we will talk to you soon.